League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
So I went to a metal show last night and I thought of you.
Oh dear.
Because there was a mosh pit. I don't get in mosh pits because no one wants to meet this rage. However, You know who would have loved this? 15-year-old Ellen, the soccer player with those elbows, because you would have been razoring all those men. It was all men in that pit.
I was so small when I was of razor age. I would be razoring knees.
Yeah.
Arr, 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 arr.
And now you just do it on the New Jersey PATH train. Hoboken!
Welcome, down bitches and path riders. Boom, boom. Welcome to I Think Not, the podcast where Joey Taranto and I are here and we recap your favorite true crime TV shows. That is our actual job. Someone the other day asked me what I did for a living. And I said, podcaster. And they said, but what do you do for your job?
Always.
I was like, yeah, I'm going to give you the same answer.
Always. People cannot wrap their heads around it.
We're live. We're actual real people. We're really nice and really fun. Maybe a little trauma dumpy, but that's okay. Did I say our names? I don't remember. I'm Ellen. That's Joey. We're I Think Not, and we are getting off to a great start. It's really hot in my office. I feel a little high.
Take off your top.
Okay. You are always trying to get me to show my boobs.
I mean, you're in a full-on sweater, babes, in your basement.
I'm usually cold, and the weather has changed a bit and hasn't really told my wardrobe eyes, I guess.
Got it. Just unleash the boobies. Let them breathe.
Okay, I will. Here we go. It's large Marge. It's just two large Marge faces. You all, we're here on our general feed covering four episodes of Married to Evil. But of course, if you want a little bit more fun, and by fun, I mean whatever this is, we're going to show you to the Patreon.
That's right, baby. You can head on over to patreon.com/ithinknot, where for as little as $5 a month, you can get four bonus episodes, three true crime, one true crime adjacent. Currently, we're covering Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup, which the ups, the downs, the highs, the lows. It's a weird relationship we're in. But we also have a ton of community events. We actually need to plan our next watch party. We need to
do that, like, now.
Yeah.
Like, tonight. I think it should be tonight. There's all kinds of things over there. We also have our merch boxes, which old Blue Eyes is going to be packing from Los Angeles. You know what that means. Poppers! Harris and I have concocted a absolutely bananas theme for this merch box. So for those of you who don't know, we have three tiers of merch boxes. We have a theme that we take entirely too overboard. We put a lot of really great, useful stuff in there. We've had beanies. We've had camping lanterns. We've had candles. We've had big old tote bags that say "In My Cunt Era," but in a font where you can't really tell what it says.
You know, I love you all so much. I just want to spoil it for you all. I want you to know what the theme is. I'm sorry, Ellen. They should.
Okay.
They deserve to know. This merch box theme, global warming, where you will get a blanket that you can cry into when inevitably the earth freezes over. Hope that brings you joy.
Can't wait. So go over and take a look. Whatever fits in your budget, and the merch is always going to be equal to what you pay. Isn't that fun? And we try and use small businesses. Go over to patreon.com/ithinknot. But don't forget, no matter where you are, what tier you are, what your name is, who you're from, who you love, we're always going to be here on Wednesdays in your general feed.
Yeah, we are, my good little girls.
Shall we get to the episode, Joey?
Fuck yeah, sugar tits.
What'd you say?
What? Oh, I just said, yeah, let's get to the episode.
Okay, I didn't hear what you said. Wait, for real? Season 2? Okay. I really have no idea where we are. Am I high? Season 2, Episode 2, Home is Where the Nightmare Is.
Hate that title.
They were a young couple striking out against the world. She was in love with him, and she appeared to be very happy. But there was something about him that I just didn't quite like.
I feared my father. Little things would set him off.
He needed control.
My sister and I thought this sort of behavior was normal.
She wasn't his wife. She was a possession. And he was not going to let anybody or anything take his possession away from him.
This was so cruel. This was evil.
Well, we are in Glendora, California, not too far away from me, where we meet Sue Wisby, who is sitting down to tell us about her sister, Jenny Heflin. She tells us that she and her sister were very, very close growing up. And I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think, like, I wish I had a sister?
Now I do.
Really?
When I was little, my brothers convinced me that if I had a sister, I'd have to share all my clothes. My brothers were on the sell. They were like, no, you got it good with brothers. No, I did always want a sister. And remember, when Joe was born and I heard he was a boy, I hung up the phone and cried.
That tracks.
Yeah.
Well, I have a little sister. I mean, little. We're in our 40s. But my sister and I are thick as thieves. Wait, you know what? Let's call her.
Doesn't your mom call you both the babies still?
She used to. Not so much anymore. But for a long time, we were the two babies. Let's see.
Mom, I'm going to Musical Monday. Stop calling me a baby. I'm a daddy.
Hello?
Hello, Messica.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Say hi to Yellen.
Hi, Yellen.
Hi.
Question. I'm talking about having the joys of a sister, and I know that for you, having me as your brother, the gay one, was the best part of your upbringing, right?
Yes. Yes, of course.
Thank you. I appreciate you for saying that. Tell me one of your favorite memories from our childhood, one that highlights me in a beautiful way.
The Christmas I colored in your t-shirt. I can't remember how old we were, but maybe you were 10. I was like 7.
Yeah, you know, you're really glossing over the details of that story. I got a t-shirt that you could color with markers, and I turned my back for 2 seconds, and this monster hijacked my markers and was coloring it in it. I had a conniption fit, and this bitch is just smiling like it was her Christmas present.
Aww.
No, just tell Ellen the car you did.
It was a little more nasally and a little more high pitched. And do you remember what mom did?
Slapped you, I think.
And she let you continuing my, yeah. You know what? I'm going to send you the bill for this month's therapy because I feel like you should pay it.
Should take responsibility for this one.
Yeah, this is on you.
Whiners are wieners.
Whiners are wieners. You know what, Jessica? Goodbye. I love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
Hello.
Hi, John.
What's going on, sister?
Joey is here.
Hi, John.
I wanted to ask you a question. You know, I had two brothers growing up, and I never got to experience the blissfulness and the complete jubilation of having a sister like you did. And Joey asked me if I ever wanted a sister, and I said, no, I was completely fulfilled having two brothers. But I just wanted to know what it was like having a sister, just so I can understand the merriment.
I mean, what merriment are you talking about?
Just the overall, just sort of glee I brought to your life.
I mean, you were wonderful, but it you were kind of like the most gangster of all three of us, Ellen. It was like having an older brother.
That's fair. Do you have an example?
How many time do you have? I mean, you ruled everything. And let's see. I remember seeing... I don't want to get gross, actually.
I know exactly what story you're going to tell. I would drink lemonade and get my spit all mucusy, and then I would dangle it over my brothers' faces and let it touch their nose, and then I would slurp it up, and I would torture them.
Pinning us down.
Yeah.
You're disgusting.
Listen, made you strong. You'll never let that happen to you again, will you?
No one's ever tried to do that before. you invented that. You're one and all. That's an original.
Yeah.
Anyways.
All right. I love you. I'll call you back. All right.
Bye, Joey.
Love you.
Bye. Well, if this doesn't ever work out, you could always take a job as a stripper somewhere in Sheboygan where they'll call you Mucus Marsh and your specialty is taking people in the champagne room and dribbling on their face.
I have no ego.
My sister Jenny and I, when we were going to elementary school, we would strap on our skates and our dog Freckles, he was a big Dalmatian dog, big fat one, he would pull us on the sidewalks of the school. And that was one of my fondest memories of her.
Now, we see a lot of old pictures. I gotta tell you, the number one thing that I noticed from those pictures, did you notice?
So much hair.
Sue and Jenny are rocking these bangs. They're like Pawn Star bangs. They are thick and full. I have never banged as hard as those bangs banged. No way. They were so good. They had so much hair. And then there's that cute picture of them in roller skates. Can we bring back roller skates?
I don't think roller skates ever went away.
I feel like we canceled roller skates at some time. I feel like rollerblades unintentionally canceled roller skates, don't you feel?
Yeah, you're right. Roller skates are very 70s.
They were like, we had wheels in a formation. Nah, we want a line of wheels now. And then what happened to rollerblades?
People still rollerblade. In California, they do.
I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
I saved up for a pair of roller skates, and I wanted this one pair, but the orange ones were on sale, and I had enough money to pay for them. So I convinced myself that orange was my favorite color. I'm like, oh, I wanted the orange ones anyway, because I had saved up enough like babysitting money to buy the rollerblades. And I pretended to be happy with it when I really wanted pink ones.
Don't make me quote Elle Woods.
Whoever said orange is the new pink was seriously disturbed.
Do you know, I didn't even think about it, but it's true. I had orange rollerblades. I'm like, yeah, look at my orange ones. I was waiting for that color. They were on back order. I had to wait list for the orange ones because I love orange. Everyone knows. I love orange. I gaslit myself.
Listen, if you can't gaslight yourself, how are you going to gaslight anyone else?
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
True crime stories can get messy, but your pits don't have to. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is powerful on odor and gentle on skin, so you can stay fresh even when life gets wild. Created by a doctor, Mando is baking soda and paraben-free and blocks odor all day. Clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
So, Jenny and Sue, they really were thick as thieves, and the pictures are very cute of them. But when Sue was 11 and Jen was 9, their parents got separated, and the girls moved from California to Maryland with their mother. But Sue and her mom, they didn't see eye to eye. They kind of butted heads, which led to Sue moving back to California to live with her father.
My sister and I would keep in contact, phone calls and letters. That's when she met Michael. She was very young. She wasn't but 14 years old or so.
And Sister Sue said the first time she met Michael, there was a tickle in her tummy. He was just a little immature, bragged a lot. I mean, most boys around 14 or 15 are pretty stupid. There was just something about him that spiked her spidey senses, but she couldn't put her finger on it, so she didn't want to say anything. And she was like, I mean, they seem to be in puppy love. I guess they're happy. I mean, isn't that the thing we all do?
Yeah, but they never told us how old Michael was. We know Jenny was 14 when they met, but how old was Michael?
Oh, good point. Well, by the looks of the pictures, 37. But it was the 80s, and I'll look at someone who was 32, and I'm like, that guy looks amazing for 58.
I blame the haircuts. Because if you gave anyone those haircuts now, it would have the same effect. I don't know what it was, but the broccoli bangs with the big hair and then the guys.
And the way they dressed.
Yeah. You know, the 80s went two ways, right? Glam, puff sleeves, you know, chic.
For the 80s.
Or it was like Holly Hobby Podunk.
No one dressed their age. They all dressed like moms. Do you know at the height of Growing Pains, Joanna Kearns, who played Carol Seaver, was 30.
What?
Yeah. She was like 46.
Wow.
It was like that bit we did on our live show where Norm was 32. The man looks 60. He looks like he gets a discount at McDonald's. He doesn't go anywhere without his AARP card. He was 32.
Wow, that's wild.
So I don't know how old Michael was, but it's hard to tell in those pictures.
But you know, it's funny because sometimes people are nervous. They have anxiety or they try too hard and their first impression is not the best impression. But sometimes they're able to redeem themselves. However, I can spot a narcissist a mile away. Before they even open their mouth, mm-hmm. I can spot it.
What is it? What's the thing?
It's just an air of superiority.
Jenny eloped with Michael when she was about 15, 16 years old. She had told me that she was pregnant. And my mom was definitely not happy with the situation, but she accepted the situation.
I mean, obviously, that's not really the way if you have a choice to map out your child's life you want. Have you seen 16 and pregnant?
I lived it because my best friend when I was 15, she was 14 and she got pregnant at 14 and had her baby at 15.
Oh, my stars. If that were me, they would have to make a whole other show. It would be like 16 and where the hell did Ellen go?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of growing up to do, you know, because essentially when you're that young and you have a baby, you guys grow up together.
Yeah.
You know? Well, eventually Michael and Jenny moved in with Michael's parents down in Winchester, Virginia, right? And they still haven't told us how old he is. I don't know why. I feel like that's important information. But Sister Sue eventually was like, you know what? I'm going to come out from California and visit you guys.
Sue knew Michael, saw him again, but she met his parents. And she said the dad was really gruff, rough around the edges, kind of sharp and strict. Just kind of one of those angry dad, where's my pot pie and my beer kind of guy. And the mom was a lovely, dutiful housewife, just, you know, dancing around her kitchen, making fresh blueberry muffins for everything. But it was enough for Sue to be like, oh, okay, this is an interesting dynamic.
Well, as far as Jenny was concerned, she seemed to have settled in nicely, you know. She and Michael seemed happy. They were finding their way, and they loved to go camping. And the only thing that appeals to me about camping is s'mores. That's about it.
Oh, I love s'mores.
I don't even love marshmallows, but there's something about s'mores that I'm like, yeah, sign me up for that.
Why are they so good? I've probably camped more than you.
Yeah. Do I look like somebody who camps with this bleached hair?
I mean, I camped all over Africa. Like, I really, really camped.
I mean, I believe you. When people were like, we're going to go camping for Coachella, I was like, cool. Could not think of anything worse. Enjoy that.
Enjoy your mud mattress.
My God, it probably smells like armpits and
Travis Barker's back sweat.
What the fuck?
Where are you?
About 10 years later, Melissa came along. And now with two children, the financial strain on the family, of course, it grows.
And that's a challenge. Kids are challenging emotionally, also financially. Joey, I have to tell you something that I don't think I've ever actually spelled out.
You regret not handing out poppers as favors for your wedding?
Oh, absolutely. Oddly enough, not that.
Damn.
Kids are expensive.
Oh, yeah.
They never stop needing or wanting stuff. And apparently, I recently learned this, they can't work. I tried to take Lola to the Banana Republic and they were like, no. And I was like, for why? But she's great. Why? But apparently they can't, I guess. I don't know. Legally, they can't work.
But you know what's crazy is everyone, I wasn't allowed to work in high school because my parents were controlling. But like everyone I knew had a job in high school. Half my friends worked at Baskin Robbins.
I was just talking about like the 7 and 8 year olds. That's when they really start to get expensive with the toys and the bikes and the roller skates and the roller blades.
No, listen, I can relate because you don't know this.
Yeah.
But my cats are really expensive.
Oh, okay. Can you break down just the financials for an average month?
Yeah. They eat twice a day.
Right.
And then they get like a little treat at the end of the night. And then, mm-hmm. you know, their water. Actually, the water's free, so that doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
Food is expensive, and it costs me about $3,000 a month.
I feed them steak every night. So their daughter, Mel Heflin, is here to tell us about her mom, Jenny. And she said her mom, Jenny, was always working a bunch of odd jobs at the same time. Name your top five weirdest jobs, go.
I was a customer service rep for the local energy company in New Orleans, mm-hmm. got fired from that job. I did stock in the mornings at Gap, and that was weird for me because I didn't wake up before 11 a.m.
You were fired from both of those. Keep going.
Yep. I worked at the Gospel Bookstore.
Fired.
I put my notice in, and they said, we don't take 2-week notices here.
Fired.
I was a waiter at an Italian restaurant where the owner was a raging cokehead narcissist.
Fired.
Yes. But it was not my fault. I got a bad haircut and I didn't want anyone to see it.
Come on.
Oh, I worked for Trish McAvoy Cosmetics at Bloomingdale's, which was basically a cult.
Okay. Wait, did you get fired from that one?
No. Yes. No. No.
I think you did.
I'm a business owner.
The only way he can work is if he works for himself.
My mom worked a lot of odd jobs. She worked at a pizza place. She worked at a Mexican restaurant. And she ended up following in my grandmother's footsteps. And she worked in hospice care and took care of people.
That takes someone so very special. If you work in elderly care or hospice care, you do so much for people at the end of their life. It's a hard job. It's an emotionally taxing job.
It is. And it's so beautiful because people, when they're getting toward the end of their life, sometimes they're forgotten, you know, and these nurses see them in a way that makes them feel human, you know, I mean, we
forget. Dignity, respect.
Yes.
And also allowing them to maintain as much agency over their life as possible. You know, some of them take on the responsibility of making sure their last wishes are met. They take on a lot. And obviously, pain management and medical care. Anyway, round of applause for anyone who works in hospice care, including sweet Jenny over here.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
True crime stories can get messy, but your pits don't have to. Mando Whole Body Deodorant is powerful on odor and gentle on skin, so you can stay fresh even when life gets wild. Created by a doctor, Mando is baking soda and paraben-free and blocks odor all day, clinically proven to control odor for up to 72 hours. Choose from scents like bourbon leather or Mount Fuji, and try the solid stick powered by mandelic acid. Mando's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, and free shipping. As a special offer for listeners, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. Use code SCENT at shopmando.com for 20% off and free shipping. That's shopmando.com with code SCENT. Mando's got you covered. Protect your pits. Smell great doing it.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Michael had a revolving door of jobs. He was always getting fired or quitting. Who would do that? Who gets fired from every job they work at? I mean, it just seems like get a job, keep a job. Yeah, everyone might have been fired once in their life, but to just keep getting jobs and keep getting fired, at some point you have to recognize you're the problem.
One second. I just got to make a quick phone call. One second.
Hello?
Hi, Amber, it's Joey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Joey?
I'm good. Listen, I just wanted to let you know, I am looking for a new job. I'm looking for, like, a new podcast, something on my own where I never have to deal with anyone who is, I don't know, like, got a big mouth and disrespectful and respects me as a man. You seem like you can help me with this. I was just wondering, do you need anyone over at Grab Bag?
We would always find a spot for you, Joey. I'm not sure how well I can insulate you from loud mouth. But I would try.
I'm just going to pitch some ideas for you, okay?
Bring it.
Okay. It's a show called Fisting in America. And like what we'll do instead of singing like, Living in America, it'll be Fisting in America. And it's all about fisting kinks in Sheboygan. So maybe that's not working for you. I have another one.
No, please sing it again. I could listen to you sing anything.
Oh, good.
Fisting in America.
Okay, great. I mean, it has Amber Hunt written all over it, I think. So another one I was thinking of is a DIY show where I talk about things like you could just do yourself, like getting unprocessed cotton and like rolling your own tampons to save a nickel, or like making your own lube out of like olive oil and tears. I don't know.
Honestly, with the tariffs, this sounds like a viable business plan.
You know what, Amber? I'm going to come up with a pitch, and I'm going to email it to you, okay?
Please do.
I love you so much. You're so much nicer than some of the people you have at Grab Bag.
What are you doing to me, Joey?
You're on the radio.
I'll see you on the next episode.
Tune in to I Think Not next week, where Amber Hunt will be featured.
I love you.
I love you, too. I hope you have a good day.
Okay.
Bye, honey.
Who was that, honey?
Oh, that was... Sorry. Did you hear that?
No, you muted me.
Oh, God, yeah. No, that was... I was talking to a man about a horse. Seeing a man about a horse. Yeah.
Hi, Joey.
Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
How are you? I'm good.
I'm doing okay. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but I'm looking for a new job. You know, some things are not working out with this podcast, mainly due to some attitude issues and some insults, but that's okay. Listen, Rebecca, I was wondering, I know you've already got like a full panel of hosts at your show, but I was wondering if you needed like a personal hairdresser, like maybe I could tease your hair. I can tease your hair in the mornings. Yeah?
Yeah. Can you do that? Can you tie my shoes?
Uh-huh.
Can you make sure Kevin cleans up his face after he eats?
She threw Kevin under the bus.
Wow. How does Kevin eat? Do you just slingshot the food into his mouth and hope for the best?
It's sort of like a Winnie the Pooh situation. Into a giant jar of food and then just like shoving it into his face. You know how it is.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. Listen, I'm happy to do all of those things, but just know that if I do your hair, I have a special technique. It's called broccoli bangs, and I will be giving you, I will be giving you like 80s, you know, Sarah Jessica Parker sort of square pegs bangs. Is that okay?
Yeah, like it looks like you put like a Jimmy Dean sausage in the front and like rolled it and then pulled it out real quick.
Exactly. You're going to look like Helen Hunt starring in Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Are you okay with that?
Perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I love her pinched face. I've always wanted to look just like her. Why is Ellen calling me?
I don't know. Answer it.
Okay, hold on. Hey,
Ellen. Hi, Rebecca. Ellen Marsh here. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good. I just wanted to let you know of some information. Joey had an unfortunate popper incident. He inhaled too many poppers the other night at a rave.
As one does. Yep.
Yeah, it does happen quite often in the gay scene, I'm told. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm trying to get out of Joey's crazy. He's a madman.
I get that. He can be really angry out of nowhere, right? It's a real surprise.
It's this hostility. All I was doing was gently pointing out that he was fired from his first 10 jobs that he had, and maybe that there was a pattern, and he lost his mind. He was like, I never want to make a pot. Like, he was screaming, and he has those curls, so those curls were bouncing. He was like,
Yeah.
He was like snarling.
Like when Justin Timberlake sings the high notes in an NSYNC song, right?
That was exactly how I was going to describe it, but I didn't know if you'd get the reference, so thank you. Yeah. So
his ramen noodle hair just going wild.
I just wanted to warn you that he has lost the plot. And I just wanted to warn you that I will be available soon for any upcoming projects you might have.
Listen, if I have to pick a side, Ellen, you know it's always going to be your side, right? Always.
Okay, Rebecca Lavoy, I'll send you an email, a pitch email.
Okay, can't wait. Bye.
Rebecca?
Joey.
Hi. Listen, you know, on second thought, I've come up with a podcast idea that I think would be great. Maybe you can help me produce it.
What's that?
It's called Weird and How Do We Talk About This? It's about mysteries. I think it's a good idea, Rebecca. Also, wait, I have one more idea. It's called Crime Writer Schlong, and it's it's about writers of crime and their schlongs.
You know, it sounds like a podcast that I've heard of that somebody that I know who likes to steal ideas from other people made and then pretended like it never happened, that they heard that idea from another person. So I just want you to just be careful, because there might be a podcast out there that's very similar to what you're trying to do. And you should continue to give the original source idea credit and maybe perhaps cross promote them on your new show, because that would be the way to say, you know, do business with them going forward.
Yeah. Rebecca, I have no idea what you're talking about. I hear words coming out of your mouth, and you may as well be speaking in Mandarin, but thank you for that advice.
No problem. Weird and Inexplicable would be a good name for a podcast, by the way.
Thank you. I appreciate that, and I look forward to teasing your bangs.
Oh, I can't wait. See you soon, Joey. Hey, by the way, you know I'm always on your side. You know, right?
Thank you. I'm always on yours. I love you.
All right. Love you too. Bye.
Bye, baby.
Michael never held down a job for very long. Every time I talked to my sister, she was telling me that, oh yeah, Michael got fired from another job, or he quit this job. And so my sister had to financially support the family, and it was a constant struggle for her.
But even while she was being a hospice nurse, she still kept all of these other side hustles going. She sold Avon. She even did people's taxes. She was always working. That sounds like a miserable existence. Anyway.
How's downtime going?
I have so much of it. I have so much of it.
Also, they show us a picture of Jenny sitting on her front steps wearing a AC/DC t-shirt. And I was like, You got my vote. I love you. I just want to say, while all of this was happening, yes, she worked as a hospice nurse, but she put herself through school.
Yep. And finally, Michael got a somewhat steady job as being a maintenance man in a hotel. And daughter Mel says, well, that was pretty short-lived because he retired, which she puts in bunny ears, because apparently a bird bath fell on his foot. You heard that right. A bird bath. And he's like, I gotta retire. I couldn't possibly. And everyone at home was thinking, he doesn't even have a bruise. He's not even limping. How heavy was that bird bath? I have so many questions.
She was like, I saw Tiny Tim turn in a better performance at the local flip-flop cabaret with a Christmas carol. This man is fine. He could jog to Texas and back, but that bird bath can't.
Do not quote Steel Magnolias on my watch. Could you imagine him having to tell people that? They're like, what happened to your foot? And he's like, something dropped on it. And they're like, oof, a hammer? No. Oh, axe? No. Ooh, was it an anvil? They're like, nope, nah, bird bath. What?
I mean, some bird baths can be very heavy, Ellen.
I guess so. And he was in retirement.
Yeah, either way, Michael sounds like a barrel of laughs. So after retiring, Michael found new hobbies. He started meditating. He went for long walks. He learned a new language. Just kidding. He holed himself up in the garage and doom scrolled on eBay all day, all night. And his passion? Used Tupperware from the 70s. What?
There was a long list of tchotchkes that she gave. He was for sure opening up a tchotchkalarium.
What the fuck? Can you imagine being like, hi, how you doing? This is Crazy for Tupperware 69. I'm really interested in pieces that are stained by spaghetti sauce. You got any of those? Just gives it character. It looks nice on the shelf. Like, what the fuck?
eBay addiction is a real thing.
Sure.
And I looked it up, and it actually makes sense because, you know, shopping addiction is a real thing. It gives people a dopamine spike. But then you add the other level of the auction part of it, which makes it exciting, you know? And there are those people that wait to the very last second and outbid you. They, you know, swoop in like a hawk carrying someone's cockapoo out of their backyard. Like, yes, I won that strawberry shortcake vintage lunchbox!
Like a hawk carrying someone's cockapoo?
That happened to Jessica Simpson. That just popped in my mind.
Oh, that's so awful.
That hawk swooped in and took her cockapoo. I shouldn't joke about that, but I did. And that's just where my brain took me. What do you want me to edit myself? What do you want me to not be myself? That's what came into my brain. That's what I said.
Ever since you took your sweater off, things have changed for you. And not for the better.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
After my father retired, he really became a recluse. He would just hide in his garage and just scroll eBay. He just wouldn't share a common space at all with anyone. He wouldn't even eat dinner at the same time as us.
He just was really odd. But the problem is, he was burning a hole through their already strained bank account with all of his spending. And I'm sure Jenny was like, I wish that bird bath fell on your hands and not your feet. Because we'd have more cash in the piggy bank.
Yeah, he wasn't working, but he was spending it all. So then Sister Sue explains that Michael came from a very controlling father who always went out of his way to assert control over him. And so Sue was like, this is probably where it all stems from. Yes, absolutely. Well, Sister Sue, in her life, decided it was time for a change. So she wanted to leave California. And Sister Jenny was like, come stay with us till you get a place. It'll be fun.
Turns out it wasn't so fun. Because the minute Sue and her husband got there, they overheard arguments. And by arguments, she means Michael yelling at Jenny. This happened every day. And what she observed was Jenny trying to keep the peace, just trying to keep Michael happy, which was almost like an impossible task. But whatever it took, she was going to do it. I don't know if you caught this, but Sue seems very therapized.
Yeah, I didn't actually notice that, but yes, very therapized.
But at one point, Sue says, I thought listening to all of these stories and knowing about his spending, I just was like, he's a fucking loser. He is a chump who gets off on exacting power over my sister.
And it wasn't really just power, because daughter Mel says this.
He would shove her against the wall or hip check her and call her the N-word. And he would belittle her any chance he got.
That's really very hard to hear and very hard for a child to watch that happen, because it just doesn't make any sense. And to your point, Jenny was just trying to keep everything even, keep him calm, not exacerbate his temper, but he kind of just seemed like a madman.
You cannot satiate an insane person.
Yeah.
It just makes me so sad because Jenny just seems like such a kind-hearted woman and nobody deserves that. So having a partner who goes out of their way to make you feel small, there's a special place in hell for you. And so Michael basically was isolating himself in the garage. And I think Jenny, in her own way, was isolating herself, but from what was going on. She was just trying to survive it. And she never wanted to discuss it. Sister Sue said, like, maybe she talked about it once with me very briefly. But I would imagine that it was very traumatic to talk about. And also, when you are experiencing that type of abuse, there is a level of shame that comes with it. That obviously on the outside, we could be like, this is not your fault. Like, there's a million reasons why people stay. There's, you know, a lot of the time it comes down to, where am I going to go? I don't have the money to leave. And Michael made it so that she couldn't leave because there was no money.
Yeah.
It just breaks my heart that she had no outlet.
Yeah, it's very sad. And it just keeps getting sadder, unfortunately. Mel tells us about a memory one night she was jarred out of bed. She heard screaming coming from the room and she saw her father take her older sister Sabrina's neck and slam it against a bed frame. And it ended up cracking her head to the point where Mel says she has a very vivid image of her mom sitting at the top of the stairs trying to calm her, literally holding her sister's head together. And sadly, Jenny didn't report this to the police. And that's probably because she was just so terrified seeing what he could do to their child that he would just at any moment take it one step further.
You know, it's funny because both Sue and Mel often say, I don't know what was going on in her mind because she didn't talk about it. And I can only guess. You know, I'm sure producers were like, why did you stay? Why do you think she stayed? Why do you think she couldn't find a way out? And they're like, we didn't discuss these things for a long time. So I can only guess. And Mel is like, I think she was afraid she would lose everything, including the house. Like, you know, she's going to leave, but where would the kids live? Also, they guess there was a thought in Jenny's head where she's like, I guess everybody experiences this. This is what life is like. She just didn't know.
Well, she speculated that maybe Jenny just thought that's how marriage is.
Yeah.
Because she wasn't taught or empowered that you don't have to take that from a man. You just never know.
Yeah.
Well, their oldest daughter, Sabrina, turned 16, got married, and moved out. And this upset Mel, not because of the young age, but because she was now going to be home alone, and she was terrified of her dad.
I remember I climbed onto the roof of our home because he was afraid of heights and I knew he wouldn't follow me.
And she explains all these instances where his body would just tense up and he would turn red and he would just explode. He would kick something. He would punch something. Object, human, it didn't matter. He would just get into these blind rages. And now Mel is there with her mom, Jenny, taking the brunt of it all. I can imagine she's just thinking, you know, my sister, we would sit in the room together and maybe they held each other or comforted each other. So I can really imagine how that would be isolating for a young girl.
Yeah. And also, having a parent who's unpredictable, having anyone in your life that you can't escape who is unpredictable, no thank you. It's terrifying. So when Melissa was 14, her father threw her out, and this became a regular occurrence.
Which is illegal.
Is it?
Yes, you cannot throw your kids. That's child neglect. You cannot throw your kids out of the house. You can get arrested for child neglect. Your child stays in your house till they're 18, unless other accommodations are set out. It is illegal.
Well, Michael, like I said, unpredictable. So when he would get angry, because this man had no emotional intelligence, right? He couldn't handle his emotions. So he would just be reactive. So that meant destroying things, breaking things, spewing hatred, and kicking Mel out. Just kicking her out. And so she'd spend the night out, come back. But by 15, Mel was no longer living in that house. She's like, I can't do this. And she says, you know, there was a moment where I had a conversation with my mother. And I asked her, why are you letting this happen to me? Mm-hmm. And her mother, with tears in her eyes, was like, oh, honey, I can't control him. I can't control anyone but me.
I'm sure she felt awful. I'm sure she felt like it was her fault. I'm sure she felt defenseless. She felt helpless. I can't even imagine. Now it's 2012, and Jenny and Sue's mom was living in Edgewater, Maryland, and she had been in a car accident and was having a lot of problems walking. She had injured her ankle. So Jenny said, you know what? I know how to take care of the elderly. I'm going to take her here to be with me in Virginia. We have a spare room. It'll be great. I can keep an eye on her. But instead of a spare room, they actually built an addition to the house for their mother, you know, kind of like a little casita, a living room,
yeah,
bathroom. How on earth did they all of a sudden get the money to do such a very big construction job?
Well, Jenny's mother had sold her home for about $150,000, and they took $72,000 of that and put it towards the renovation. One day, Sue gets a letter from her mother.
So then Sister Sue says this.
My mom would write me fairly often. She asked me point blank, why are they still charging me $2,500 a month to live here when I paid for doing this addition for my own room?
I was gagged. First of all, that anyone would charge a family member, I could never do it. I understand that people have their own circumstances. Maybe they needed help with food or extra care or whatever. But $2,500? So, Joey, I looked this up in 2012, what you could get in different cities for $2,500. So in 2012, in Manhattan, you could get a one-bedroom apartment in a small neighborhood like the Lower East Side or Harlem. And maybe in Brooklyn, you could get a large one-bedroom or two-bedroom in Park Slope or Williamsburg, not a doorman building. Okay, so let's move to like the Baltimore area. For $2,500, you could secure a high-end two-bedroom apartment building in a really nice neighborhood. It says like Federal Hill, Canton, or Fells Point. I'm sure everyone knows those area. Or you could get a modern three-bedroom unit in other places like Charles Village. Okay, then I specifically asked in Winchester, Maryland. And it's like, you can get a mall, you can get a tractor and two horses, and you could get, no. So they say you could get a spacious 3 to 4 bedroom single family home with multiple bathrooms, large living areas, possibly finished basements or attics, or also an upscale apartment complex with amenities like fitness centers, pools, concierge services. All to say, not only did this woman pay for the addition, they are grossly overcharging Mima on the real estate.
Yeah. Well, when Sister Sue caught wind of this, she called Jenny and was like, she paid for the renovations. Like, she should be able to live there for free. Like, what's going on? And Jenny was like, I know. And that is when Sue knew. This is Michael. This is all Michael.
And Jenny had a good job. But of course, the eBay, he had to get his 1985 Teddy Ruxpin bear. Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
So he was using all of the grandmother's money for his out of touch, insane eBay shopping sprees.
Yeah. And Sister Sue is like, obviously hindsight is 2020. There's so much I would do differently if I could. And in that moment, talking to my sister, I knew she was stuck. And what was so devastating was I knew she didn't have the means to leave. Mm-hmm. I didn't have the means to help her. I didn't have a place for her to live, literally. And so it's so hard to watch someone that you love be stuck in their pain. But eventually, daughter Mel was like, Mom, this is a cycle of abuse. Mm-hmm. This is not a way to live. You have to get out of this. You have so much more life to live. You're just getting by and you're barely doing that. My dad always said to us, God doesn't put us on this planet to live life just to get through it. Mm-hmm. It's so that you can enjoy it and thrive in it and find ways to, you know, be happy and be loved and love others. No one should feel like, ugh, I have to wake up again tomorrow and do this all over.
Yeah, absolutely. So now it's about 2014. And the words that Mel imparted on her mom, that impacted her. And she absorbed the information and she started to recognize the abuse.
One day she left work. She didn't tell him that she had put in her 2 weeks' notice. and she drove straight from her job to my house. And I was thrilled.
Well, Sister Sue didn't know anything about this plan. I would imagine that would be to protect Sister Sue. I would imagine Jenny did that quite intentionally. Poor Sue is over here eating her Stouffer's meal, watching Everybody Loves Raymond, and she gets a call. And it's Michael screaming, Jenny left me. She's gone. Where is she? Do you know where she is? I know you know. So Down Bitch Sue calls Jenny and she said, what happened?
And Jenny goes on to say that one day Michael pointed a gun at her head and he said, if you ever leave me, I will end your life. So for Sue, that story really scared the shit out of her because Michael went from being this grumpy loser asshole to a monster who was capable of murder. And the situation was dire. It was very scary. So Sue asked, okay, I'm glad you got out of there, but what about Mom? It turns out that Jenny and Sue's mom was still living with Michael. And Jenny was riddled with guilt because she's like, I know I have to get her out of there. I just don't think I can. And it was most likely that guilt she felt that made her go back.
So she did. And she went back with the hope that maybe this little leave, this couple days where I got away, shook some sense into him that I will leave if it gets too bad. Maybe he will change. So she went home and a couple days later, she called daughter Mel and said, you know what? Things are actually a little better. He said he was going to control his spending and not scream at me as much. I think we might actually be on the road to change, which I love that for her. Of course, daughter Mel is still suspicious, but she has to take her mom at her word.
Yeah. Well, then they came up with a plan to run a business out of their home. And essentially what they were going to do was bring in elderly patients to be cared for in the home. Michael's father had passed, which opened up a room in the house. So they decided to use that room to carry out the plan, right? And they got a business license. And so they called it the Heflin Home. And I have a feeling that the reason Michael pushed this plan was so that Jenny would be home all the time. Mm-hmm. He could watch her closely, watch her every move. And it was a control tactic.
Yeah. While working and making money.
Exactly.
So they were granted the ability to care after three elderly patients, and that was sort of their new business. Now it's 2016, and Sister Sue says this.
In early 2016, my current husband and I took a trip out there for a couple days.
Can you just play the way she said current husband?
Current husband.
Sister Sue, what's the tea? There's something going on there. What happened? Yep. How many husbands?
Yep.
How many husbands at the same time? How many husbands are still alive?
Yeah.
Sister Sue has something to tell us. I'm going to find out what it is. Sister Sue.
In the words of Jesus Christ Superstar, what's the buzz? Tell me what's a-happening.
Yeah, what's his current husband? That felt like verbal bunny ears. What's happening? Tell me the tea. Slide into my DMs. I want to know.
Well, when Sister Sue got there, she noticed that they had installed cameras in every room. And she was told that that was so that they could keep an eye out on all the patients, right?
I would also probably think that there is a certain amount of cameras necessary when you have in-home care, 24-hour in-home care. I'm sure that is part of it. And it makes sense because old people fall. My great-grandmother, she would just fall.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't know what would happen. So it makes sense. But we see these cameras, and I counted. There were 16 boxes of different angles and places in and around the home.
But you know where there weren't cameras? Downstairs where Jenny and Michael lived, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the four main cameras were in the kitchen, the living room, which was basically the common area for the tenants, and then also outside facing the front lawn, and the storage area, which was basically an enclosed carport that was right outside Michael's garage space. And Jenny would wake up super early, and she worked herself to the bone. Early morning, late night. At this point, her mother had passed, but there were three elderly folks who needed around-the-clock care.
Yeah. She had medications to administer. She had to wash them, change them, feed them. She was working so hard and truly around the clock. Now, she was making good money. She was making $11,000. They had expenses to keep this small nursing home going, and they had household expenses.
But $11,000 a month is a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, listen, those Pikachus aren't going to buy themselves. He had a wait list of Beanie Babies. You wouldn't even believe it. Who's going
to
buy those?
And speaking of Michael, he didn't lift a finger to help. He wasn't doing anything other than being holed up in his garage and being like, keep those old people quiet.
Well, they're on their reconciliation journey, and things are actually going okay till they hit about the 2-month mark, and all of Michael's gremlins start creeping on out, and to the house is delivered a Bowflex machine.
And you know when they said Bowflex.
Is that the thing with the sliders where you go like that? Or is it the thing you pull down?
I have no idea, but all I can think is of this clip from Kimmy Schmidt.
You know, some people say global warming is a hoax perpetrated by the Chinese. But I say, show me the receipts. Because why would Xi Jinping want to flood my basement and rust my Bowflex? To what end? To what end?
That's her as Dionne Warwick. That's so funny. We couldn't afford a Bowflex in my house, sorry.
Well, Michael could, and he ordered one, and he bought all kinds of radio equipment and firearms of all shapes and sizes. So here's poor Jenny working morning and night, which has to be exhausting, elderly care, no time to herself, and he's over here buying Joan Rivers Chia Pets on the daily. It's just absolute bullshit.
You're gonna love my Chia Pets. They're wonderful. Oh my God. It's been a beautiful, very expensive, nice, made in Quebec.
It's a collector's item.
So one day, Sister Sue is visiting again, and Jenny's like, I need a break. She's like, let's go out. We'll go do something, anything.
There was one time that we were just walking around Winchester, and then my sister got a phone call, and it was Michael. And he was telling her, you need to get home. You need to get home right away. We had only been gone for like 20, 30 minutes. And then she looked at me and she said, I'm sorry, I have to go home.
They didn't even get their steps in. They had just fallen back into the exact same routine, the bad habits, the abuse. And Jenny finally comes to the realization that she needs to go for real this time.
Now, Jenny was still selling Avon, and I think she was really desperate.
Mm-hmm.
Because remember, Jenny didn't talk about what was going on, not even to her own sister. But I think she probably had her fill and realized that she was in a very dangerous situation. So one day, Jenny's working with one of her Avon clients. And, you know, sometimes it's easier to talk about your problems with a stranger, someone you don't know that well. And she just said, things are really bad at home. And I got to get out. And this person took pity on her and said, look, I'm going to connect you with a friend of mine who's a realtor in California. She spoke with that realtor and he said, listen, I actually have a room for rent in my home. And daughter Mel sort of says, it wasn't necessarily that this man was flirting with her. He just was showing her kindness. And that was something Jenny was not used to.
Yeah, she was not used to a man being thoughtful, caring, generous. What's that old adage about, you know, a stray dog? How grateful they are because they knew that you took them in. And I'm not calling Jenny a stray dog, but just simple niceties were foreign to her.
Yeah.
So now she knew she had somewhere to escape to. So Jenny started packing. And here's the gag. Michael didn't even notice. Remember, this man hadn't come out of the garage since 1992.
Yeah.
So she's packing up and this motherfucker had no idea.
Yeah, she had already sent half of her belongings to her daughter's house. Now, this brings us to December 12th, 2016. We see footage of Jenny starting her day on the cameras, and this was the day she was going to leave. Now, daughter Mel was struggling to get in touch with Jenny, but eventually her mom called her and whispered, oh my God, he found out I'm leaving. I have to go now. And Mel said, let me come and get you. I will drive there. I'll come and get you and get you out of there. And she was like, no. And Mel says, I think the reason that she did that was because she didn't want to put me in harm's way.
Mm-hmm. And the very next thing we hear is the 911 call.
Charter County 911.
Ma'am, could you send an ambulance and a police car to 215 Stafford Drive? There's been a shooting.
215 Stafford Drive?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's been shot?
Me and my wife got in a terrible argument. I caught her in an affair, and I just shot her, and I swear to God, I didn't mean to do that.
Where is she right now?
Laying in the bathtub. What I'm going to do is this. I've got to put my belt on, the rest of my clothes on, and put my shoes and socks on, and be out front. I'm going to have my hands in the air, tell the officers.
Yeah, I understand. Is she awake?
Yeah, she's a gurgling in there. She's breathing. If the ambulance gets here quick, she might be saved.
Okay, are you... Okay, where's the gun?
I have laid it on the floor. I'm going to be waiting for the police out front.
Okay.
Thank you.
Not the thank you at the end.
It is horrifying. It is.
That man's voice. It's not his voice. It's his inflection.
Yeah.
I can't even think of anyone to compare it to. It's like Anthony Hopkins. Like, you're not sure if Anthony Hopkins is terrifying or not because his inflection sounds nice, but also most likely you're a little terrifying. He sounds deranged.
Yeah. That phone call gave me chills because that was the sound of a person with no emotion whatsoever. So we meet Detective Todd Swartz, who was one of the first officers to respond.
Do you know who that man looks like?
Who?
That man looks like Stark Sands with a beard.
I don't see it.
What?
I don't see it. I'm sorry. I don't see it.
He looks like if Stark Sands grew a manly, musky, lumberjackery beard.
We all know that Stark Sands can't grow a manly lumberjack beard.
What if I was like, beep, bop, boop, bop?
Well, basically, Detective Swartz says, we arrested Michael without any incident. He came quietly. And that's when they found sweet Jenny.
I knew all she was breathing. And so they rushed her to the hospital. And then it turned out they had to airlift her to another hospital because her wounds were so catastrophic. But she was alive. And this is horrible. The way that daughter Mel found out was that she was looking at the police chatter Twitter page or whatever. And she saw her block. And then it said a male shot his wife. And what she explains, how everything just sort of went black and numb and silent. The adrenaline, I've said this before, adrenaline is wild. Remember when you broke your ankle and you kept dancing?
Like, it was my metatarsal.
Whatever. And I say that every time. You know that, right?
I know.
And so she just knew. And Sister Sue is in disbelief, and she is absolutely breaking my heart when she is talking about this.
Yeah, they both got to the hospital, and they were shocked by the state Jenny was in. And they show us a picture of Jenny in the hospital. I started crying when I saw it.
Well, I called Joey just to talk about something, and I caught him mid-cry. He was like, I can't believe that picture that they showed.
I just can't imagine experiencing that kind of emotional distress every single day, not ever feeling safe in your home, and having to deal with this piece of shit, worthless nothing, who one day decides, I'm losing my grip on you. I'm going to end your life. And when you see this picture, it's this man's rage all over
her. She's not recognizable. It's very sad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they had to remove Jenny's eye, and most of the wound was in her arm. The gunshot had severed one of her veins, so they had to do surgery to try to fuse those veins back together. But thank God it actually was her arm because it didn't hit any of her internal organs. But there was a gunshot, and some of the bullet ricocheted into Jenny's head. So she had to have a ton of surgeries on her brain. And over the next couple days, she didn't wake up, but they definitely felt Jenny's energy in the room after about 3 days. So they were filled with so much hope that Jenny could somehow miraculously make a recovery.
And it's at this point that the detectives sit down with Michael to interview him.
We run a small nursing home. She had to go upstairs, so I see her phone laying there. God must have made me pick that phone up. I picked the phone up, and it was some man on there she was talking to.
He was on the other end of the phone?
He was texting.
Texting, okay. Texting.
Well, what happened was, after I found him on there, I got really mad about it. I said, look, I thought we had things straightened out. And she came up and told me she'd had multiple affairs when she went 3 years ago to stay with my daughter. She took a man down there with her. Well, she point blank hit me with all this, and it just broke my heart off.
So you guys know, we didn't know if we wanted to play that clip because we didn't really want to give him any attention or mind. But I really wanted everyone to hear how manipulative this man was. He was trying to endear himself, act like they were friends. You know what it's like, officer. The absolute psychopath of it all. It's almost unbelievable. It sounds like a movie.
It really is. And so I was wondering, too, because he must have intercepted a call from that guy in California and then from there concocted.
It was the guy in California. That's the thing. She was conversing with a man, the man who was going to help her escape this fucking dehydrated pea brain and get her to safety. Yes. And of course she did not want him to find out, because the minute he would find out that she was planning on escaping, he already told her he was going to kill her. Do not test people's threats.
No. And then he goes on to say, I overheard her on the phone with this guy calling him baby, and it triggered something in me. But then he spins the narrative and says, she attacked him, she ripped up all the Christmas presents, and this man is basically attempting to make a case for self-defense. Mm-hmm. And that's when Jenny went into the bathroom screaming and crying, I got my shotgun and shot through the bathroom door. But my intention wasn't to kill her, I was just trying to scare her. And you know what, officer? I just don't know what possessed me.
Mm-hmm. It's so unlike me. I've never done anything like that. I was in a blind rage. Well, this cheese curd was charged with aggravated malicious wounding. Why do we have so many adjectives? Is it malicious or is it aggravated? Aren't those the same thing?
Yeah, all malicious wounds are aggravating.
Yeah. I mean, don't you have to be aggravated in order to get to be malicious? The two go hand in hand.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. Those detectives, I'm fascinated by that. Like, when there's a crime like this, the psychology behind an interrogation.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone has different tactics, but they literally were just like, oh, yeah, man, I get it.
Of course.
And they're just letting this man talk and talk. And it wasn't hard because he wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, give that man enough rope to hang himself with. But back in the hospital, everyone continues to be hopeful that Jenny can make some kind of recovery.
Well, they take her out of the intensive care unit, but one of the gunshot ricochets to her brain started to bleed. And Mel says she recalls looking at her mom and just saying, Mom, are you okay? And she said, yes. And then she had a grand mal seizure and she was gone. So sad.
Really devastating, especially to see someone making progress like that and being like, oh my God, there's a work, she's going to be okay. And then to lose her in a moment. So that means that now this is a murder investigation.
Oh, believe me, I really didn't mean to do this.
We knew already some of what the defendant was going to testify in his defense.
I pointed the gun at the bathroom door in a rage. The gun went off and it hit her in the head.
Well, he's still pushing for the manslaughter because his defense was he most certainly was not trying to hurt her. He just wanted to scare her a little. You know how women need to be scared every once in a while.
Yeah.
They need their knickers in a bunch. And so they were like, not on our watch. Jenny's life is worth more than a 10-year manslaughter charge. We're going for first fucking degree, motherfucker.
Yeah, they are. But they have to prove that this murder was deliberate and that it was premeditated. So detectives decide to reenact the murder to prove a case for deliberation. And when they did, it took 15 seconds to open up the safe where Michael kept his guns, and only a few more seconds to load the gun and then walk to the door of the bathroom. So in total, about 30 seconds. That is enough time for a person to stop and think, you know what? I shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Maybe this is going too far. Maybe I could kill someone. 30 seconds is more than enough time.
And another part of the investigation that was really helpful was all of that camera footage. They had camera footage from all throughout the day. In the morning, they see an argument between them and he's obviously yelling. And he picks up her phone a lot of times, looks at her phone, you know, just grabs it when she's not in a room because he thinks she's having a conversation with a man. Yes, the man who's trying to save her life. And so this was what really, really was creepy to me. Everywhere she walked, this man was behind her. For those of you who've ever had toddlers, it was like having a toddler. When Lola was a toddler, I was like, can I pee? Can I just pee? Why are you following me? Substitute toddler for grown ass, stupid, angry, 3-in-1 shampoo piece of shit man following this woman everywhere she went.
He was stalking her.
Yeah, that's a great word.
At one point, he grabbed her, and I could feel myself getting really antsy because the idea of someone not giving me space in that way, I would go apeshit.
Oh, yeah.
And it seemed like Jenny was trying to just text that guy in California. And Michael is like, you're having an affair. You're having an affair. So this poor woman, I mean, for me, obviously, like, I'm not saying what she should have done, but for me, I would have lost my mind. I would have punched him in the face. So now detectives turn to ballistics to examine the crime scene, particularly the angle in which Michael shot through the bathroom door. Also, Michael purposely used double odd buckshots, which contain larger sized balls that cause a lot more damage when the bullet explodes.
I mean, everyone knows what a double odd buckshot is. I knew that before they explained it.
You did? How did you know?
I know everything. So anything there is to know, I know it. Especially about guns. I was like, oh, is a double odd buckshot? Yeah, fast forward. I don't need you to explain to me what that is.
So you know everything?
Yeah, everything.
What's the meaning of life?
Not being gay. You're a disappointment to so many people.
Oh, no, I gotta make some changes.
We were ready to go to trial. We had more than sufficient evidence to obtain a conviction. We were very confident. But there is always risk. You can never be absolutely certain that a jury will determine your way. And you end up either not getting a conviction at all, or you get manslaughter.
They were ready to go. And the defense was like, wait, can we talk for a second? Can we just talk about some stuff for a second? Yeah, because you know you have no fucking case. They're like, can we do one of those deals? Can we make a deal? And so the worst thing that could happen for the prosecution is that the jury decides it wasn't premeditated and it's manslaughter. They don't want that.
No.
They don't want that for Jenny and Jenny's family. They need him to go away for a long, long time. So they're thinking, you know, you never know who's on the jury. This guy, he talks in upspeak. He's charming. What if he woos? We don't know what's going to happen. So how about this? You take off manslaughter. We'll take off first degree. So at least he has a shot at parole after 20 years. We'll settle on second degree. And they're like, great. Deal. So Michael pled guilty to second degree murder.
And a second degree murder charge comes with anywhere from 5 years to 40 years in prison. Now, obviously, the family is like, this isn't ideal. This is not what we want. Mel is like, I mean, I want him to get the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of him only getting 10 years for manslaughter, it's just not worth it. But at his sentencing, the prosecution showed up with a strategy.
They were like, we do not want these people to forget that this was premeditated. This was premeditated for decades, okay? It wasn't the 30 seconds. This was premeditated for a long time. So they just really wanted to drive home. Listen to this 911 call. Listen to how callous he sounds. Listen to how unapologetic he sounds. This doesn't sound like an accident. They played his interviews. Listen to his tone. Is there remorse in his voice? They just wanted to drive home the fact that this didn't bother him, he was non-pulsed, and they want him to get the maximum possible amount of time.
And y'all, it worked, because that judge gave him the maximum, 40 years for second-degree murder, and an additional 3 years for illegal use of a firearm. Essentially, he will serve 24 years before there's any shot at him being paroled.
Mm-hmm. I loved how daughter Mal was like, I don't give a fuck, I want him to die.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was savage. And we end with Sister Sue talking about how Jenny was an organ donor. And I just want to play her because she absolutely breaks my heart.
To be a donor, organ donor. And even in Jenny's death, she still gave life. The 5 people live today because of her. So throughout Jenny's life, she gave and gave and gave. But I know she's at peace now. She's no longer bullied. She is no longer lorded over and told what to do. And I will forever be proud of her for making that decision to finally break free.
And that is where the episode ends. Michael is still in jail, and I looked it up. A month into his sentencing, he tried to withdraw his guilty plea. Bitch, part of your plea deal was there was no appeals. The judge was like, what part of no appeals do you not understand? The no or the appeals? No, you don't get to do this. You said you were guilty. You did it. You're not getting out, motherfucker.
Burn in hell.
Yeah.
Rot in hell, you piece of shit. It's just a sad ending. I wish I so badly, as is the case with everything we cover, I wish I could go back in time and like help, you know?
Yeah.
It's just really fucking sad.
And I think it's also important to say that I'm sure there were so many people who saw his rage, not just the family, you know, maybe people in the community or at the church. I'm sure there was a lot of why doesn't she leave chatter. And it's not only the risk to someone's personal safety, but a lot of women might potentially blame themselves.
Yeah.
What did I do to bring this on? Or this is normal. Or it's not so bad. People have it worse. You know, it is so sad because clearly she was so loved by her sister and her daughter. She took care of the elderly. Do you know how much patience you have to have? It is a hard job. If somebody tells me they work in hospice, I'm immediately going to think that you're an earth angel and have a heart of gold. Of course, there are horrible people everywhere.
Yeah.
But on the whole, this woman dedicated her life to making sure that people's end of life had self-worth and comfort.
And dignity.
It's really very sad.
Well, if you're experiencing domestic violence or any type of abuse in your home, help is available. You can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. They're open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
And like any hotline we give you, everything is anonymous.
Yeah.
Everything is just there to help. Even if you just need to talk and ask questions and say, is this abuse? And you just need validation or comfort or an ear. There is absolutely no shame in using the numbers and the websites that we provide you at the end of an episode, because we all want you to be safe and we all want you to choose yourselves.
Yeah. And also, if you can't make that phone call because you're afraid of being overheard, you can also text. You can text the word begin, B-E-G-I-N, to 88788.
Please say something funny.
Hi, not available right now, so leave a message and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Thanks so much.
Hey, Daisy, Joey Taranto here. Hope you're doing well. I'm sure the Lollipop Guild is keeping you busy. Listen, I just want to let you know, things that I think not have taken a turn. Ellen has decided to invest in Taco Bells all across the great state of New Jersey. And I was thinking we could start a podcast together called, Hey, You Be Quiet, Drew Lachey. So can you give me a call and let me know what you're thinking? I love you.
You all, the whiplash from Bizarre Murders to this show, I need to take some medications. I need to lie down. I need a cold cloth on my head.
You and me both, baby.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us on this episode of I Think Not. Please take time to follow us on social media. We work hard to keep you entertained, keep you laughing, show you some fun stuff. So follow us on TikTok and Instagram at I Think Not Pod.
Also, if you want to keep up to date with all of our news, our announcements, and my nudes, join our Facebook group. It's called the I Think Not Podcast Facebook Discussion Group. You can connect with other down bitches and chat about your favorite true crime cases or whatever it is. You're looking for advice? It's all in that group.
And of course, if you want more Joey and I, and who wouldn't, please head over to patreon.com/ithinknot. We have 4 episodes waiting for you in your ears every month for as little as $5. But we're always going to be right here Wednesday mornings. Until next time, I love you, Joey.
I love you, Tay Ellen Marie Martian. I love you, the beast.
I love you, down bitches. Bye.
Never leave me.
Do you have a chili starter? Get it? A chili starter? A cold open? It's a... Instead of saying cold... Okay, go ahead.
Let me think of something funny here real fast. This is an opportunity, and there's about a 30-second delay on my brain today. So we're going to make this funny, okay? Soothing... But soothing... Wow.
Sorry about that, Rick.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.